Yes, please go ahead and stand with me, with all of us. Lord, we just love you so much, God. Just thank you, Lord, that we get to have a relationship with you, God, of sons and daughters. It is just truly amazing. And God, I just thank you for just the miraculous blessing of being your sons and daughters. And Lord, I pray that as we worship tonight, you will just fill our hearts, Lord, with your joy, fill our hearts with your peace, fill our hearts with your love, God, and just let us be able to worship like no one else is in the room but you, and just pour out our hearts to you like you are standing right here in front of us, because you are. And we just thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for your presence, God, for meeting us where we are. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, it's a fast song. Oh, we're still getting ready here. Okay. Here we go.
Greatness of your renown. I have heard of a majesty and wonder of you, King of heaven. In humility I bow, and as your love, wave after wave, crashes over. You say, oh, I will let you draw me out beyond the shore into your grace. Oh, your grace, and as your love, wave after wave, crashes over me, crashes over.
Call me out beyond the shore.
love has made a way. You make me brave. You make me brave. You call me out beyond the shore into the waves. And you make me brave. You make me brave. No fear can hinder now. The promises are made. You make me brave. You make me brave. You make me brave. You
song, and it reminds me of that passage in Romans that says, if God is for us, then who can be against us? And the obvious answer is nothing. Nobody can be against us because his grace is awesome. And his grace, it's like we get something we don't deserve. We get his unconditional love. We get the forgiveness of Christ, and that just makes us want to worship our great God. Amen? Amen. Welcome to our worship service tonight. And my name is Jim, and I'm pastor here. If you are a guest with us or first-time visitor, we do have a gift for you. We love to give you this travel mug that says our church name on it, hot or cold drinks. Please fill out this welcome card and turn it in at the end of the service. If you're with us via the internet and live stream, welcome. We're so glad you joined our service tonight. And we pray that the Lord just lifts up your spirit and helps you to follow Jesus more closely. Let's go ahead and greet one another this evening.
Well, good evening, everyone. Welcome to Sebastopol Christian Church. We're so happy that you are here worshiping with us. It's so wonderful to look at and see these beautiful, young, smiling faces on the front row. We love it. It's so wonderful to come together and worship our Lord and King. Well, we have a lot of announcements tonight, so I promise I'm going to do my very best to go as quickly as I can. But every one of them, I know this sounds redundant, but they are all very exciting. We truly have some wonderful opportunities for all of you to be a part of, to join us as we celebrate what God is doing here in our church, and then what he wants to do with us out there in our community. And we want to shine his light. And so we are offering some opportunities to help us all do that. This is something I know I desperately need. We need to seek opportunities where we can come together, we can lift up God in worship and praise, which we're going to do, we can open up his word, and we can gain wisdom and encouragement from each other, and more importantly, from him. So we are having a women's retreat. We are having signups this week, tonight, tomorrow, online all week, and then it's next Saturday. So if you have not yet signed up, we need you to please sign up. Please be praying, number one, for our retreat, for what God wants us to bring to everyone at that retreat. And then secondly, for who he wants you to bring to that retreat, to be blessed and to get to know some fellow women who love him and serve him. So please, we want you to do that. All the information is on the back. Clipboards in the back, and if you have any questions, several of us will be back there to answer those for you. We really truly want you to be a part of that. We're also offering Dave Ramsey's Financial Peace class. Many of you have heard about that before. If you haven't, then just go the first week and ask some questions. Ask what it's all about, and you will find out. It has blessed many, many people across Christendom, and on how God really wants us to have a plan for our finances. So we're going to have that starting Sunday, September 24th. That's the following Sunday at 10:40. So you're here tonight. Awesome. You could sleep in on Sunday morning and then come at 10:40 and be a part of that class. And we would love for you to do that. Sign-ups in the back as well. And then we're having Family Day. We have something for women. We've got something for men you're going to hear about in a minute. But we also want something for family, something you can invite any age or stage to, and we can all go fellowship and have fun together. So we're having a Family Day at the A's game on Saturday, September 9th. Now, that's Saturday, September 9th. That's a Saturday morning. We're going to meet here around 10:30, and carpool over there together. But the night before that, we're doing something very special. We're going to have a prayer time at our church, and we want to always be asking God what he wants us to do with his church here in this community. And so we're going to gather together. The last one was very special, and the largest attendance. So my challenge is, let's top that. Let's have the largest attendance this time, and we'll be able to join together and be able to pray for what God wants for all of us personally in our lives, and then what he wants for our church. Well, men's and women's life groups are vitally important, and I do not use that word lightly, vitally important. And if nothing else, I know it because I've been a part of a life group. It changes depending on where God has me and where I'm serving, but I have been a part of a life group for near part of 33 years. It because I started joining those life groups the year I got married. Jim and I just celebrated our 33rd anniversary on Friday. Thank you. I didn't say that for that reason, but to give God the glory, I am blessed. And we know that in order to live a life that God has called us to and be successful in that life, we have to be in the Word of God and we have to do it together. So Jim goes to a men's group, I go to a women's group, and then we go to one together. So life groups are going to be kicking off as we kick off the fall, and Jim has a lot to say about that. But would you be praying about that now and about a group that would work for you? We have one just about every night of the week or a day of the week if that works better for you. We are also celebrating something very special and very wonderful here at Sebastopol Christian Church. If you are online with us at all, if you're not, please get the app or please join us on Facebook so you see it. On Facebook, we have been announcing our church's 50th anniversary. And that applause goes completely to all of you. 50th, I hope I get there. I hope I can stand here one day and say, okay, it's my 50th wedding anniversary. But 50 years is monumental. And there have been committed people, committed to God, committed to his purposes here in West Sonoma County in order for there to be a 50th celebration. So we've invited people from the past history of Sebastopol, current, all of us coming together and thanking God for what he has done with Sebastopol Christian Church. And here's the exciting piece. Jim and I just get to honor and celebrate and pay honor to all of those people. But then we are excited to be a part of what God is going to do in the future of Sebastopol Christian Church. And we know he has a plan. And so we want to launch it. And we want to be excited about that. And we know that only through prayer and through coming together will that be accomplished. So please join us. We're very excited to do that. Well, I promised you there was something for men, too. Jim gets working really hard once we come up with a great idea for a women's retreat. I'm teasing. He's always praying about it. I just like to do that. So he has. I think he topped us. He's got an ex-professional football player, right? 49er, coming to speak at the men's prayer breakfast. So he would love for you to join him. Isn't that cool? I know I want to go. Like, can I meet him ahead of time or something? So, I've heard great things about him. Otis Amy. I didn't want to pronounce it wrong. I mean, okay, who else but a huge, big 49er football player could have the last name Amy? But he can pull it off. I didn't want to mispronounce, but I won't. Hi, nice to meet you. I've heard great things about him. I know he will be a wonderful encouragement to all of you men. So, and getting together is a good encouragement. So we want you to join us that Saturday, September 23rd, and it starts bright and early at 7:30 in the morning. So thank you so much. Let's go back to worship.
If everyone could stand with me, please. I just want to encourage everyone in this room right now just to worship Jesus right now. Let's just put everything aside.
Sing with me, how great.
It's who I am.
we're all searching for answers. Only you provide, 'cause you know just what we need before we say a word. You're a cooker, Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a cooker, Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a cooker, Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You are perfect. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. To us, you are perfect. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect. Perfect in all of your ways to us. Love so undeniable, I can hardly think. Peace so unexplainable, I can hardly think. As you call me deeper still, as you call me deeper still, as you call me deeper still into love, love, love. As you call me deeper still, as you call me deeper still, as you call me deeper still into love, love, love. As you call me deeper still, as you call me deeper still, as you call me deeper still into love, love, love. If the band could just keep playing this, I just feel like God wants us to enter into this space that he's inviting us into, of just going deeper. And I just want us to take a moment and accept that invitation. Jesus, we say yes, God. We say yes, God. Lord, I just pray you open the wells in our heart, God, to receive you, Jesus. To just receive your voice speaking to us, God. To receive your invitation of going deeper, Lord. Yes, God. And we're going to sing this again. And I just encourage everyone to open their hearts to this invitation. As you call me deeper still, as call me, deeper still as you call me, deeper still into love, love, as you call me, deeper still as you call me, deeper still as you call me, deeper still into love, 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 as you call me, deeper still as you call me, deeper still as you call me, deeper still into love, 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 as you call, as you call me, deeper still as you call me, deeper still as you call me, deeper still into love, love, love. You're a good father, a good father. It's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am. You're a good, good father. It's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am.
You may be seated. We're going to continue our worship of our great God, our loving Heavenly Father, by celebrating communion. And we're going to have our usual practice on Saturday night where you'll come out of your seat and go into the center aisle and come up here and receive that. I was thinking about a passage of Scripture as we were singing about God being a good, good Father. And all the ways that we can describe God. You know, He's our Creator. He's our Redeemer. He is our Lawgiver. He's our Judge. He is holy. He is a fair Judge. He's just. He's a Protector and a Provider. But just the song that focuses on one of the key characteristics of our great God is that He is a good Father. And one of the things that I tried to do as a father is to say, what do our kids need? What are they lacking? What is there something that I can provide that would make them whole, that would make them blessed, that would help them to grow up in their relationship as human beings? So you're always thinking about, what can we provide? What is it that they need? And God, of course, looked upon us, and He saw us estranged from Him. He saw us broken by sin. He saw us going our own separate ways like lost sheep. And so He sent us the great shepherd of our souls. He sent Jesus to us. And He did it out of His motivation for love, because it says in 1 John 4, He says, this is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for sins. And dear friends, since God so loved us in this way, we also ought to love one another. Our Lord God, we thank You that You are a great, good, loving Heavenly Father, and that You look down on us and You see us, and Your attitude toward us is love and grace, and You want to provide good things from us, for us. Lord, You want to show us that Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. You want us to give us that abundant life through Your Son. And Lord, we receive that as we celebrate communion tonight. We receive all the goodness and grace that You have to offer by reminding us that it wasn't us that reached out to You first, that while we were still sinners, You sent Jesus to die for us. And so, Lord, help us as we're taking communion to be reminded that it is Your great love that motivated You to send Jesus. And it was Jesus' great love that motivated Him to say yes, that he would come and be that atoning sacrifice for our sins so that we could be reconciled to you. All glory and honor to him, and we pray in his name. Amen. As the song is playing, you can make your way forward to receive communion tonight. Will you pray with me? Father, thank you for that giving heart of yours that offers us the very best that you had to give us so that we could enter into that relationship with you. Lord, thank you for drawing us into your family and putting us into your kingdom and drawing us into a life full of purpose and full of mission. Lord, thank you that you call us as individuals and as a church to do life on mission with you, to try to reconcile this world that is estranged from you, that needs to know that you are real and that you love them and that through Christ they can be saved and have a living relationship with the eternal God, both now and forever. And so, Lord, please receive these tithes and offerings that we offer you tonight and use them to grow your kingdom and to meet needs of people and to show a world that you really are real and that you love them very much. We pray these things in your name. Amen.
Food.
Thank you, worship team, for leading us in that great song. You may be seated. We're going to get right into the message tonight, and if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I just looked up behind me, if you saw me do the 180, switching back, stretching my back muscles out, trying to reach that Bible behind me, and I found 2 Corinthians 10, and the Bible there was page 1163. If you don't have a Bible with you and you don't want to look, you can also look up on the screen because we have many of the Bible verses there for us. So we are going through a series in 2 Corinthians this summer. It's called We Have This Treasure. Tonight's message is called Tearing Down Strongholds. Tearing Down Strongholds. We heard a lot of truth from God's Word tonight. We heard a lot of truth in the song. And the truth of God's Word ultimately is what tears down the strongholds of the enemy. Let's pray together. Lord, I ask you tonight for the filling of your Holy Spirit. I ask to be able to speak your words of truth and love and in grace, but also with passion and clarity. And God, I pray that what the words I say tonight are the words that you want to communicate to this local body, Sebastopol Christian Church. And Lord, please help everyone who's listening tonight to be able to hear your voice as it comes through your word and to say yes to whatever it is that you're calling them to do. Lord, to you be the honor and the glory, and we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Hey, I don't know if you've ever thought about this. I mean, we've seen a lot of turmoil and hatred and killing and murder in this world, especially in this last week, and it's been awful. I don't know if you ever thought about the daily battles that are going on around us in this world all the time. I mean, there is a daily battle of drug pushers versus the DEA, or the Drug Enforcement Administration. There's a daily battle of organized crime or the mafia versus the FBI. There's a daily battle going on of human traffickers versus law enforcement. There's a daily battle going on worldwide, not just here in the United States, of terrorists versus Homeland Security. And those are dangerous people with some dangerous activities that can do harm to human beings made in God's image. And that can really harm or threaten our way of life. But for the most part, we're not even that aware that these daily battles and struggles are going on all the time. And these are actually the battles that we can see. Well, how about the other battles? How about the other spiritual battles that we cannot see? The Bible's very clear that there is a war going on all around us all the time, and it is a cosmic battle for the souls of men and women who are created in God's image, but also because of sin, because of rebellion, because we just want to do things our way and not submit ourselves to God, that we become damaged by sin and we end up living in a broken world. And there's a war going on in our hearts and minds, and even though that war may seem invisible, God's word says that that battle that's going on is no less real just because we cannot see it. Paul tells the Christ followers in the book of Ephesians. So it's funny, I say, hey, we're going to be in 2 Corinthians 10 tonight, so turn to the book of Ephesians. But you'll see I see preachers do that all the time. In Ephesians chapter 6, Paul talks about this unseen spiritual battle that's going on all around us all the time. So we get some insight from this particular chapter in Ephesians 6, and it says in verses 10 to 11, it says, finally, be strong, and Paul's talking to the Christ followers now. So if you're a follower of Jesus, he's talking to you. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Put on the full armor of God so that you can stand firm against the schemes of the devil. That word schemes comes from a Greek word called methodia, and that word means to act craftily or to act deceptively. In other words, he's going to throw a scheme at us, and we may not even know it's coming, right? Kind of like a pitcher with a wicked curveball. You know, the batter's sitting there, you know, sitting on a fastball waiting for one come right down the plate, and then he throws this big hook. And I remember being in Little League and in sixth grade when I saw my first curveball, and I looked at that thing like deer in the headlights, like, what is that? You know, alien ball coming at me, and it just dropped right into the strike zone. Boom, strike three, I was out, and I was like, you got to learn how to hit that thing, you know. And not all the pitches are going to be fastballs. So we've got to be able to stand against the crafty, deceptive schemes of the devil. Satan's greatest weapon against us is his ability to deceive, his ability to get us to doubt God and the truth of his word, and instead to have us start believing Satan's lies. And so Paul goes on in verse 12 in Ephesians 6, and he says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's not against other people. Our real struggle spiritually is against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. And perhaps nobody had a better grasp on this unseen spiritual warfare that we're going through than a theologian of the last century, a British guy, actually an Irish guy, but he lived in England most of his life. His name is C.S. Lewis. And C.S. Lewis wrote a great fictional story of a correspondence between a junior demon named Wormwood and a senior demon, his, quote, uncle, and the uncle's name was Screwtape. And so C.S. Lewis compiled a bunch of letters together, and he calls it the Screwtape Letters. And I totally commend it to you if you want to read it sometime. It's fascinating. In this book, these two demons are conferring with each other about how to destroy a particular human being, how to completely mess up his life. The older, more experienced demon Screwtape is giving advice to this younger demon named Wormwood. And Wormwood wants to know, like Uncle Screwtape, what is the best strategy to tempt this man, to get him to go away from God, to get him to sin, to get him to move away from a closer relationship with God the Father? And these are the words of advice from Uncle Screwtape. He says, but do remember, the only thing that matters is the extent to which you separate the man from the enemy. Now remember, the demon is talking, so the enemy in this case would be God. It does not matter how small the sins are, provided that their cumulative effect is to edge the man away from the light and out into the nothing. Murder is no better than cards, if cards can do the trick. Indeed, the safest road to hell is actually the gradual one, the gentle slope, soft underfoot, without sudden turnings, without milestones, without signposts. There's the safest way to hell, just the cumulative effect of these little sins over and over and over again. So there's the advice to Wormwood, and he signs it, your affectionate uncle, Screwtape. Now we go to 2 Corinthians 10. Now we see the words of the Apostle Paul when he's talking about this cosmic, spiritual, unseen battle that is going on around us all the time and how we need to be able to fight this battle using the weapons that God has given us, because God has not left us defenseless. It'd be pretty bad to send, you know, for a general to send his army into battle and to give them no weapons at all. I'd say, thanks a lot. You know, I remember a story of Stalingrad, and it was very sad because the Russian army that were fighting the Germans in the winter of 1942 outside the city of Stalingrad, the Russian army, the soldiers that were in the back had no rifles. And the way that they were supposed to arm themselves was as they're moving forward and they see their fallen comrades fall, they are to pick up the rifle of the fallen comrade. And that's how they are to have a weapon to fight the Germans. Pretty sad. God doesn't leave us that way. God is a good, good Father. And so he gives us good weapons to fight with. And so Paul says this, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. So Paul uses a really big metaphor here. He calls it stronghold. In fact, he uses a military metaphor. Strongholds is an allusion to the towers or the raised ramparts used in ancient battles. Paul uses strongholds to stand for the way he describes it. Here's what a stronghold is. He says, it's every argument, it's every pretension that rears up against God and contradicts the truth about God, about who God is and what God is like. For example, if somebody came into church tonight, and that's one reason, by the way, that's one reason why we want to go to church every week, because we are hearing messages against the truth of who God really is out there in the world all the time. We need to come in and get a reset of who God really is, that he's a good, good Father, that he's full of grace, that Christ the rock, on Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. That's truth. We need that to fortify our spiritual lives. One of the lies that's out there, one of the ideas out there, is that God is a mean, vindictive God, that God is just looking down and so disappointed with humanity, lost in sin, and he just wants to punish us, or that God is not a God of love. He's actually just a lawgiver, and he's given us the rules, and he says, you need to live by the rules, and if you don't, you're out. You know, but those are ideas about who God is, and Paul says the weapons that God is giving us, we need to take those thoughts, we need to take the divine power that God gives us with the truth of his word, and we need to be able to demolish those strongholds, those lies about what people are saying about God and who they think God is. So God's not a mean, vindictive God. He's not a distant lawgiver. God is personal. And as the song that we just sang tonight, God is a good, good Father. He loves us and he takes care of us. So Paul goes on. In fact, I want to say it in a different translation, because sometimes you read a different translation and it brings out a nuance of the verse that maybe you didn't get with the first one. So the first passage was the New International Version. This is the New Living Translation, and it says this. It says, "We are human, but we don't wage war as humans do. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture their rebellious thoughts and we teach them to obey Christ." You know, if we're going to have a victorious Christian life, we're going to have to learn in our own lives how to take those thoughts that are against God, how to take those rebellious thoughts that don't come from God at all, that don't reflect the truth of the Bible at all about who God is, and we're going to have to take captive those rebellious thoughts, and we're going to have to bring those thoughts into captivity and make them obedient to Christ. That's not an easy thing to do, because those are strongholds in our lives, and sometimes the thoughts that we have about God or about life or about what it means to be a human being, about does God really love and care for me? Is God a good, good father or not? Some of the ideas that we've had have been implanted in our lives since the time we were very young. And they have become so entrenched in our minds and in our thoughts that they have become strongholds. They become these fortresses that are set up in lofty rebellion against the truth of who God is. And so how do you overcome one of these strongholds in your life? How do you even know that you have a stronghold in your life? You know, a lot of us have some kind of stronghold. We don't even realize it. Discovering a stronghold in your life takes discernment. It takes the ability to judge between right and wrong. In fact, that's one reason why we need to be in God's Word. It's one reason why we need to have a daily devotional reading of God's Word, so that the truth of God's Word can come up against some of these other thoughts and strongholds and ideas that we have in life, and we can replace the counterfeit or the rebellious against God with the truth that is in God's Word. So it takes discernment. You have to figure out what the false idea is. You have to figure out what the false value in life is. You have to find out what is running up against the clear teaching of God in the Bible. You know, by the way, just as an example of demolishing strongholds in his day, in his culture, I reference Jesus to you, because in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus has a number of these sayings, and then he has the clear teaching about who God is and what God's Word is really like. So in other words, the way that Jesus patterns it, Jesus says, "You have heard it said." And when Jesus says, "You have heard it said," he is now going to say, here is a common opinion, a stronghold in society that is among all of us today. Here is what almost everybody values in our society today. "You have heard it said this, but I tell you that." In other words, he's going to challenge that stronghold, and he's going to bring the truth of God's Word against that stronghold, and he's going to replace that stronghold with the truth that sets people free. And so I put the stronghold word in red, and I put Jesus's words in white, kind of the opposite of the red letter edition of the Bible, right? Normally you say, Jesus' words are in red. Well, they are, because Jesus said these words. But this, the lie, the stronghold is actually the words in red. So it's Jesus says, "You have heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy." Right? Love your neighbor and hate your enemy. That's the way most of the world lives. Who's my neighbor? The people around me, the people I care about. Who's everybody else? They may not be my enemy, but they're certainly not my neighbor. And the minute they cross me, they become my enemy. And so, you know, treat your family well, treat those you love and care about well, but everybody else in society, wait to see how they treat you. If they treat you nicely, you can be nice to them. If they treat you terribly, you've got a green light to just lay into them because they didn't treat you well. So love your neighbor and hate your enemy. That's what so there's the stronghold. And Jesus comes right up and he says, I tell you, love your enemies and pray, not pay. You know, spell check doesn't catch everything, does it? And pray for those who persecute you. Yeah, give them money if you need to. But anyway, and pray for those who persecute you, right? Again, and so there's about love and hate. And Jesus says, you got to love people who hate you. You got to love people who don't even treat you nicely. Because when you do that, you're going to show the unconditional love of God. Just like Jesus, when he's going to the cross, carrying the cross on the way to the place of the skull to be crucified, he's saying over and over, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. And the effect that it had, even on the Roman guards who were in charge of Jesus' execution, at the end when Jesus gives up his spirit and he dies, and the Roman centurion looks up and he says, surely this is the Son of God. Don't you think that Jesus' words over and over, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing, don't you think they had an effect on that man and softened his hard heart? So Jesus modeled this, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Again, now Jesus brings up a new stronghold. He says, you've heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. In other words, if somebody hurts you, you have every right to go hurt them back. That's basically the root script for all the Predator movies, for all the Rambo movies, for all the Commando movies. Is that some big stud military guy, or he's martial arts, or you know, he knows how to handle every weapon under the sun. He knows how to beat up and kill people, basically, right? And he's a big stud, and somebody hurts him, or somebody hurts someone that he loves, and for the rest of the movie, he now has this green light to go destroy hundreds of other people because of what has happened to him. So an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But Jesus is not saying he agrees with it. He's saying, you've heard it said this, but now I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other cheek as well. A lot easier said than done. A lot easier said than done. But when we do that, we're showing the grace of God. We're showing the unconditional love of God. You don't have to treat me right in order for me to care about you or to love you. So Jesus is modeling a new idea. So he's taking on these strongholds in his day, and he says this over and over in the Sermon on the Mount. You've heard it said, but I say to you. And we've got to take those words. So if you read that, if you go over to Matthew 5 and 6 and you read those passages of Jesus, you can see, you ask yourself, what's the stronghold that Jesus is taking on and confronting, and what is the correct replacement with God's word? So let's pause here. What's the stronghold? Well, the false anti-Christian idea is that you can hate other people who are made in God's image and that you have the right to hurt them if you think or believe that they have hurt you or someone you love. You've got the right to take vengeance instead of letting God be their judge. So again, that would be an example of a stronghold. Now, how do strongholds get into our lives? How do they take root? How do they start growing in their influence in the way we think? Because the Bible says, as a man or as a person thinks in their heart, as a person thinks in their heart, so he is. So here's the danger of a stronghold. Whatever you allow into your mind repeatedly, that will occupy your mind. It will shape and influence your mind so that over time, that idea will come to express who you are and what you value. And that idea eventually will determine who you become. You've heard this phrase where it says, you know, sow an idea, reap a thought. Sow a thought, reap an action. Sow an action, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny. And it all starts with one thought. It all starts with a thought that raises itself up against the truth of God, and it takes root in our lives, and it comes in there, and it can shape who we are. We've got to figure out what those false thoughts are. It says your mind is going to absorb and reflect on whatever it's exposed to. So the events that you attend, the relationships you build, the materials that you read, the music that you listen to, the media images that you constantly expose yourself to, and the thoughts you entertain. In fact, the thoughts that you ruminate on. I love that word, ruminate. comes from a cow chewing the cud. Just going over and over, just rehashing it, reliving it, ruminating, thinking about that thought over and over and over again. It ends up taking root in our lives, and it's going to eventually shape our minds and our values and our character and our destiny. Let me give you some examples. You look at pornography over time, and over time you just start to see people as sex objects and not as people who are created in God's image. You look at women's fashion magazines all the time, and you start to believe that the only beautiful women out there are 5'10", blonde, and 115 pounds. Actually, that's a skeleton. You listen to some hard music like gangsta rap, and you start to see the world according to their views. Cops are racist. Violence and fighting solves your problems and gives you respect. Women are toys, and money is all that matters. I'm getting into it. You know, but you start believing those ideas when you listen to it. And it's like, but it's got such a great beat. Yeah, that's part of the lure. That's part of the trap. I'm going to Medlin now. You watch enough romantic movies and you start to think it's perfectly okay to have sexual relations with somebody, whether or not you are married. It just matters that you care about the other person and they care about you, and you both feel something for each other, and then it makes it okay. And there's lots more strongholds out there. I've only mentioned a few of them, about what is beauty, about what is it that makes somebody famous and important, about what, how the value of money, about what does it mean to be successful in life and in this world. Remember this: as a person thinks in their heart, so and in their mind, so will they become. The more you listen, the more you watch those ideas and start to believe them, the more powerful and gripping that stronghold will become in your life. So the truth is, there are lots and lots of demonic strongholds in our society. And the only way that we're going to be able to defeat them, the only way we're going to be able to demolish them and tear down those strongholds, is by confronting them, by calling them out, by tearing them down, and by replacing them. Again, this is the key, by replacing them, not just tearing them down and saying, I can't think that way anymore, but you got to replace them with the truth that is in God's word. And so Paul continues in verse 5, he says, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. So here we go. How do you go about it? We're going to go through some steps, and these steps are going to be in your bulletin outline. And so if you want to grab your bulletin outline, we're going to go through some steps about how you tear down, how you break a spiritual stronghold in your life. The best way, just in an overall statement here, the best way that I know to tear down a stronghold in your life is by confronting something that is false with the truth that is in God's word. Jesus says it this way: sanctify them. Jesus is actually praying for his followers in what we call the high priestly prayer in John chapter 17, in the upper room, the night before Jesus went to the cross. And Jesus said, sanctify them, which means, Lord or Father, set them apart. Sanctify them by the truth. And then he says, your word is truth. So we get set apart to God by not just reading the truth, but by believing the truth, by meditating on the truth, by memorizing the truth of God's word, and letting that be the biggest influence in our lives, and not letting this other stuff creep in too far. So we confront something false with the truth of God's word. You learn the truth of how things really are, and then you compare the truth of God's word with every other idea or philosophy, every other illustration that is counterfeit or deceptive or looks good but isn't really real or the truth. So we have God's word. We ask the Holy Spirit to work with the word of God to confirm the truth to us. We're praying. We're striving to have a close relationship with God. We're asking him to give us discernment, to show us what is real and what is false, what is true and what is counterfeit. Holy Spirit, help me through these prayers to figure out what is right and wrong here. And then to have the faith, reading God's word, trusting the Holy Spirit in prayer, and having the faith to live out a life that honors Jesus. If we're going to change our behavior in this world, we first have to change our thinking. So you have to learn how to replace those wrong thoughts with excellent thoughts. And here's some steps to help us tear down and demolish spiritual strongholds in your life. Number one, you have to know your opponent. You have to know your opponent. The first fill in the blank is that word opponent. Your opponent is not a family member. Now again, I'm kind of being a little tongue-in-cheek here. Your opponent is not a family member. It's not your boss. It's not that nasty driver that was on the road the other day. Your opponent is not a gossipy coworker. It's really the ancient enemy of all humanity, ever since the fall in the garden. Our enemy, his name is Satan, the devil. And it says, so our battle against a stronghold in our lives, it's ultimately spiritual. The beauty of that is Satan is a roaring lion. The Bible says he's seeking whom he may devour. But because of Jesus and going to the cross and taking care of our sins and dying for them and raising from the dead, he has defeated the enemy that had the power of sin and death over our lives. Satan doesn't have that power anymore. He has been defeated, and he is a defeated enemy, but he's still a powerful enemy. But the Bible talks about him being a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. The truth is, because of Jesus, that lion is in a cage. That lion is in a cage. And as long as we don't go near the cage, as long as we don't go poke the lion, as long as we don't go right up to the lion and say, here, kitty, 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 as long as we don't do something like that with our enemy Satan, then he's not going to necessarily have that influence in our lives. The battle is spiritual. In fact, 1 John tells us, greater is he, talking about the Holy Spirit, greater is he who's in you than he who is in the world. Which one's greater according to God's word? May seem like Satan's having his day in our world. Violence, terrorism, racism, hatred. It may look like it's ruling today, but for us in the kingdom of God, with Jesus as our king, it says greater is he who's in you than he who is in the world. So we don't have to live as slaves to sin. We don't have to live in fear of our enemy, Satan. But we do have to know our opponent. And we do have to know that the way he gets influence in our lives, the way that he comes to have control of certain parts of our lives, is he brings in lies, he introduces deceptions. He says, basically, he pulls an opposite of Jesus. Jesus says, you've heard it said, but I say to you. And Satan comes up and he does the opposite. And he says, oh, well, you say God says this, but I say to you. You say God is like that, but I say to you. And who are we going to listen to now? Who are we going to believe? The one that we listen to and believe, that's the one that we're going to give power and influence of our lives over. So we have to say, greater is he than it is in us. And we're going to stand on the truth of God's word. And when we stand on the truth of God's word, and when we put on the armor of God, we're going to be able to tear down and demolish the strongholds of the enemy. Amen? Amen. So we're going to know, you have to know your opponent. Number two, we have to pray. Pray and seek God's help. We've got to ask the Holy Spirit to guide us, to direct our prayers. We use God's word to establish his authority over all our lives, including whatever the stronghold is. For example, in Ephesians chapter 4, it says this. It says, put off your old self and put on the new self. If you're going to put off the old self, that means I got to put off the old way that I used to think, the old way I used to behave. I got to put off the old values that I used to have about what is important and what is not important in this world. I've got to put off that old self, and now in Christ, I got to put on the new self. And look at this, it says, the new self is created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. So we're throwing off an old stinky pair of clothes, and we're putting on a brand new pair of clothes in Christ Jesus. We're going to let him dress us in true righteousness and holiness. So we got to pray and ask God's help, and his Holy Spirit will help us through his Spirit and through his word. Number three, we've got to speak and declare the truth. Speak and declare the truth. Jesus said this in John 8, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. The truth will set us free. The truth can always set us free. The truth doesn't always set us free. Let me say that again. The truth can always set us free, but the truth doesn't always set us free. And the reason the truth doesn't always set us free is, let's be honest, there's times where we know the truth and we don't believe it, or we don't follow it, or we don't act upon that truth. And when we know the truth and do not act upon it, then that truth does not set us free. But Jesus says, you are really my disciples if you hold to my teachings, he said. When we hold to the teachings of Christ, he says, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Here's the truth. You and I are children of God. You and I have the righteousness of Christ. You and I have the Holy Spirit as God's deposit in our lives, guaranteeing the full payment in the future in heaven with him forever. The Holy Spirit is a down payment. The Holy Spirit will help us overcome the stronghold in our lives. The Holy Spirit will help us identify what the Holy Spirit, what the stronghold is in our lives. And so the truth is, when we declare the truth is we do no longer have to be controlled by the bad habits or influences anymore. We can declare that God is empowering us. God, through your word, through the body of Christ, and encouraging each other daily as we walk in this Christian life together, through the truth in God's word, it says God is empowering us to live a life of self-control. I remember in the 1990s, about 1993 was when I first became aware of it. There was a Christian men's movement. It was called Promise Keepers. Promise Keepers. And the whole idea was, it was a Christian men's movement. And it was based on this idea of, there, you know, men make a lot of promises in this world, don't we? We're being honest here. We made a lot of promises in our world. You know, I'll love you, I'll care for you, I'll be there, I'll be faithful, you know, you're the only, Eve, you're the only woman in the world for me, like Adam said. So we do all of it. We have said all of these things. And the question of the promise keepers was, we're really good at being promise makers. But how are we doing at being promise keepers? Of loving our wives, of loving and raising our kids in the training and instruction of the Lord. Are we really doing that? Because unless we're doing that, we're not really promise keepers. And I remember a song that really encouraged me. It came out in 1995. It was called Seize the Moment in this album. And it came from, the imagery came from Joshua. And it was a song, and it said, be bold. This is a good one for men. Be bold, be strong, for the Lord thy God is with you. Be bold, be strong, for the Lord thy God is with you. I am not afraid. I am not dismayed. I will walk in faith and victory. Yes, I will walk in faith and victory. Why? Because the Lord thy God is with me. And we sang that over and over again. That's one reason why we go to church. We sing songs like that, and we get strengthened in our faith. Because we're singing the truth, and we're letting the truth demolish whatever that other stronghold is. I'm going to walk in defeat. Oh, I can't overcome anything. I'm weak. You know, it's like, no, we're going to walk in victory. A good worship song can turn you back on the right path. Or a good worship song can affirm you that you're on the right path and saying, way to go, keep doing that. So there's number three, speak and declare the truth. Number four, let your actions, this is kind of an interesting one to me, let your actions catch up to your faith. Sometimes mentally we know what the truth is. We know what the right thing to do is. We know what the right theology is. But our actions are lagging behind. And so to walk in integrity means that our actions are actually catching up to our faith. So we start to walk in victory. We start living as an overcomer. We start to have good habits form in our lives. And by the way, good habits form in our lives the same way bad habits form, by repetition. By repetition. Somebody says, I just can't seem to make a habit of going to church every weekend. And he says, what, really? Well, try going for 6 or 7 or 8 weekends in a row and then see how that habit forms. Because a good habit will form just the same as a bad habit, by constant repetition. Keep standing your ground and remind yourself of God's truth, and keep doing what is right. So our actions, you know, we start to tear down those strongholds. We confront the lie with the truth of God's word. And then we let our lives start to live out the truth. And our actions will catch up to our faith. You know, Paul knows that wherever he goes, wherever he preaches the gospel, Paul knows that some of the listeners, some are going to believe the message and some are not going to believe the message. The people who do believe the good news, they're going to be the ones who turn away from their sins. They're going to turn back to God. And the people who don't believe, they're going to object to humbling themselves and repenting and turning away from their sins back to God. They're going to say, no, I will not believe and follow Jesus. But they usually, when they usually don't believe, they usually have some kind of a reason, some kind of an excuse, some kind of a, here's why I'm not going to be a follower of Jesus Christ. One reason that a lot of people reject the gospel is that they refuse to believe that all people in all cultures, in all generations, they refuse to believe that everyone needs to embrace Jesus as their Savior in order to have a right relationship with God. They can't believe that everybody in this world needs to ask Jesus to forgive their sins and to follow him. They just can't believe it. Well, you know, Jesus is good for the West. Jesus is good for those who are already Christian. Jesus is good for the people who've already been exposed to the Christian message. But the other people around the world, they've got their own religions. They've got their own philosophies and beliefs. We don't need to bring the Christian gospel to them. You see that stronghold. You see the mentality. And I will say that those who do not believe in Jesus, here's the other thing, because this is probably one of the greatest strongholds out there in our community and out there in the world today. And here's the truth. One of the greatest strongholds out there is the idea that all religions basically have the same ideas about God, all religions and philosophies, so long as a person is sincere and so long as a person believes and tries to practice whatever that religion or faith is, as long as they're sincere in that, whatever road they take, that's eventually going to lead them to heaven. That's eventually going to lead them to a right relationship with God in heaven. That is a stronghold that is out there. That is a deeply held stronghold. That is an idea that will get you in an argument faster than just about anything. And that stronghold is a lie. And we've got to call it out for what it is, that it's a deception. It's not coming from God, because God's word is very clear. God's word says there's only one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5. There's truth from God's word. So if God's word says there's one God and one mediator, only one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, how does that truth of God's word compare to whatever else the philosophy is out there? According to the Apostle John, he says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from every sin. So how is anybody going to get purified from their sins that have offended a holy God? How is anybody forgiven and purified of their sin? According to this, it's the blood of Jesus Christ, God's son. That's what purifies us from all sin. According to the Apostle Peter, back in the day when January, February, when we were going through this church on fire, the early church in the book of Acts, Peter declared this, Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. He said, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name other than Jesus under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. The truth of God's word versus whatever the other philosophies that are out there in the world. And we've got to take and capture every stronghold and bring it into that captivity to the obedience of Christ. Jesus is able to save completely anyone who comes to God through faith in him. Jesus himself said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So where are you tonight? Are you ready to reject the religious lies and the strongholds that are out there? Are you ready to call out the pretensions that set themselves up against the knowledge of God? Are you ready to take Jesus at his word and put your faith completely in him? Here's another truth for Jesus, quoting from him in John's gospel. Jesus says, whoever hears these words of mine and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. Wow, what a great promise. Are you ready to accept the truth that is in God's word and to reject the other lies and deceptions that are out there? If you're ready to say yes to following Jesus, if you are ready to surrender your life to His leadership, then let's just stop and let's go to God together in prayer. I invite you to bow your heads tonight, and we're going to pray to the Lord together. And with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, tonight I want to acknowledge to you that there's other ideas that I've had about who you are, or other philosophies that don't seem to square with what you are telling me is the truth that is in your word, that is revealed in the Bible about who you are. And so today, Lord, today I come to you in faith, and I declare that I'm putting my trust completely in you and nothing else. Like that song that we sang tonight, Lord, on Christ, the solid rock I stand, Lord, I really do believe all other ground, whatever other ground that I've tried to stand on, God, compared to you, that is just sinking sand. Lord, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you came to take away our sins. And so thank you. Thank you for loving and dying for me. Thank you for making a way for me to come into your family. And Lord Jesus, I confess that I have my sins, I have my moral mistakes and my foul-ups. I have my wrong ways of thinking. And I ask you to forgive me of all of that. And Lord, I pray that you'll help me to follow you on the right path from this day forward. God, help me to take good steps toward you, toward spiritual growth, so that I can get healthy, so that I can renew my mind with the truth that is in your word, the Bible. God, show me how to live. And I declare that from now on, I'm going to follow you and you alone all the days of my life. Thank you for eternal life. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for welcoming me and your family. And all these things I pray in your name. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to ask the worship team to come up, and we're going to sing a closing song. And I don't know where you're at tonight, but if you did pray that prayer, and if you were sincere, then I can say to you with all joy, it's like Jesus' words are true. It says, anyone who hears these words of mine and believes in me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He's crossed from death into life. And so we can all say together, welcome into God's family. And we rejoice with you. And as a follower of Christ, I want to encourage you to take that next step of faith, because the next step of faith after we put our trust in Jesus is to go and publicly express that faith by being baptized and by identifying with Jesus in his death and his burial and resurrection in the waters of baptism. Jesus commanded all of us to go through that sacrament as believers. And I pray if you haven't taken that step, take one of those welcome cards, look on the back, circle that declaration that says, I want to be baptized. And we'll follow up with you and we'll make arrangements for you to be baptized. Let's all stand now tonight, and we're going to sing a victory chorus. Hannah?
We're going to sing that chorus, Good, Good Father, again tonight, just to remind us, like Pastor was saying, who God really is. And this is so God's heart for each one of us, that He's so good. And He wants so much good for each one of us in this room. And so let's just sing this together.
It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who It's who I am, you're a good, good father. It's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am.
You know, there's the truth. That's the truth that sets us free, when we realize that God, our Creator, is also God, our Redeemer, is also God who invites us into His family, and He calls us His own good, good Father. And that makes us His children. That makes us brothers and sisters into His common family. So let's go out and treat each other like family members tonight. Hey, I don't know what you would do for a Klondike bar, but downstairs we've got some Saturday sweets. God bless you. We'll see you there.